and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, nationwide broadcast from Atlanta, Georgia, out to you wherever you may be. The phone number, if you'd like to be a part of the program, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I expect the OSHA mandate is going to come out tomorrow. Biden announced several weeks ago that he would mandate that every American in a company with 100 or more employees be vaccinated or else. And he never actually released the text. He never put it in writing. He gave the speech, but there's been no writing. There's been no movement. There's been no regulation from OSHA. I expect it to come out tomorrow. Why? Because the hearings before the Senate today are pretty devastating. Biden timed the mandate speech to distract from the Afghan news that we had actually killed an American employee of a nonprofit, not actually Al-Qaeda terrorists, with that missile strike. He used it to distract, and it worked. So the hearings today in Washington are so devastating for the president. I expect that he is going to now try to distract from the hearings and will release the mandate. And then it'll get enjoined by a court, but he won't care. It'll be a distraction. Tom Cotton, senator from Arkansas, had this exchange with General Milley and General McKenzie.
General Milley.
Well, let me rearrange my audio here so you can actually hear what he has to say.
It's your testimony that you recommended 2,500 troops approximately stay in Afghanistan.
As I've said many times before this committee and other committees, I don't share my personal recommendations to the president, but I can tell you my personal opinion and my assessment if that's what you want.
Yes, please.
Yes, my assessment was back in the fall of 20, and it remained consistent throughout, that we should keep a steady state of 2,500, and it could bounce up to 3,500, maybe something like that, in order to move toward a negotiated, gated solution.
Did you ever present that assessment personally to President Biden?
I don't discuss exactly what my conversations are with the sitting president in the Oval Office, but I can tell you what my personal opinion was, and I'm always candid.
General McKenzie, do you share that assessment?
Senator, I do share that assessment.
Did you ever present that opinion personally to President Biden?
Again, I'm not going to be able to comment on those executive discussions.
Did General Miller ever present that opinion personally to President Biden?
I think it would be best to ask him. I believe that his opinion was well heard.
Secretary Austin, President Biden last month in an interview with George Stephanopoulos said that no military leader advised him to leave a small troop presence in Afghanistan. Is that true?
Senator Cotton, I believe that, well, first of all, I know the president to be an honest and forthright man. Secondly,
it's a simple question, Secretary Austin. He said no senior military leader advised him to leave a small troop presence behind. Is that true or not? Did these officer and General Miller's recommendations get to the president personally?
Their input was received by the president and considered by the president, for sure. In terms of what they specifically recommended, Senator, they just, as they just said, they're not going to provide what they recommended in confidence.
Well, here is a little more from Secretary Austin, just to highlight again exactly what he just said with his exchange with Tom Cotton, just to make sure we're all on the same page here.
Secretary Austin, President Biden last month in an interview with George Stephanopoulos said that no military leader advised him to leave a small troop presence in Afghanistan. Is that true?
Senator Cotton, I believe that, well, first of all, I know the president to be an honest and forthright man.
just so we're here. And now we got Senator Tim Kaine from Virginia.
My chief criticism and question is this: why did the Afghan security force and civilian government collapse so quickly, and why did the U.S. so overestimate their capacity? The second half of the question, why we overestimated their capacity, is very important. To any who have said we couldn't see this coming, the members of this committee know that's wrong. An immediate collapse may not have been the most likely outcome, but we have heard for years, particularly from the intel community, that DOD estimates of Afghan strength were way too optimistic. I believe the U.S. government had a good evacuation plan, but it was premised on an Afghan civilian and military government that showed high resistance to the Taliban. And so we did not adequately plan for the real possibility of a quick collapse. We need to explore both military and interagency decision-making processes to understand why we were unrealistic and how to correct that going forward.
That's Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia, not willing to give the Biden administration a pass. And now there's this from General Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
A reconstituted Al-Qaeda or ISIS with aspirations to attack the United States is a very real possibility. And those conditions, to include activity in ungoverned spaces, could present themselves in the next 12 to 36 months.
Ungoverned spaces, that's what you call Afghanistan now. Well, how is this being viewed? Here is John King on CNN after this testimony on Inside Politics.
The generals repeatedly testified that they recommended 2,500 troops stay in Afghanistan. They thought that was the best way for the situation. Some said maybe as many as 3,500. Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas made reference to an interview with George Stephanopoulos of ABC News where the president said, no one said that to me that I can recall about keeping troops. No one said that to me that I can recall. The Republicans are saying the president lied to the American people.
Well, and two of them both testified that, yes, they had recommended keeping 2,500 troops there. Now, what I imagine the White House will point to is that caveat, that I can recall. However, I don't really think that's going to be a solid defense, because the question is, why would you not be able to recall something that is so critical advice over how you're conducting this exit from Afghanistan and what the top advice that you're getting from your top military aides is? And so what General Milley said there as a follow-up to that is that we are here to give advice. We are not the decision makers. The decision maker makes the decision on this. But they did confirm that, yes, this is the advice that they gave to him. And President Biden had been pressed on this twice by George Stephanopoulos in that interview, because it had been widely reported by CNN and other major outlets that that was the advice that he had received, that they thought that this could happen, and they thought if those 2,500 troops were there, it would help facilitate a more stable situation. And so those are going to be big questions facing the White House over this. And I also think Milley saying that he believes this has damaged U.S. credibility on the world stage is another notable point in that entire hearing.
The OSHA mandate's got to come tomorrow. Is it cynical? Is it just too cynical to think that? This is not good for the Biden administration. And by the way, Jen Psaki is already trying to do damage control on this issue, just so you understand. Jen Psaki is out there essentially trying to obfuscate what the generals actually said. She's putting some heavy spin on this, among other things, on social media, trying to distance herself from, or not trying to distance herself, but trying to obfuscate what exactly the generals had said to Joe Biden, in particular, heavy emphasis on the can't recall. Her tweet as POTUS, that would be Joe Biden, told ABC ending the war in Afghanistan was in our national interest. He said advice was split, but consensus of top military advisors, there's 2,500 troops staying, meant escalation due to the deal by the previous administration. She's trying to confuse this. She's trying to essentially say, well, if we kept them, we would be escalating the situation. They bungled the situation is what they did. On the way out the door, 13 Americans died because Joe Biden lied. 13 Americans lied. Joe Biden lied. The generals have now ratted him out before the United States Senate. The generals were unhappy. There was a lot of leaking that was done. How did George Stephanopoulos know to press Joe Biden? How did George Stephanopoulos know to press Joe Biden on the what did his generals say? Because they leaked it. It was known in Washington. The generals were furious. The intelligence community was leaking. The Pentagon was leaking. None of them thought Biden was doing the right thing. Many of them were leaking. You need to be clear here. They were not leaking to sabotage Joe Biden. they were leaking to make sure that everyone knew, and the Biden administration really had it crystal clear in their head what the military had recommended, because they knew what would happen. We now know that. And Joe Biden chose to ignore them, because in Joe Biden's mind, it would be an escalation. And in Joe Biden's mind, they all needed to get out. We've left Americans behind. In the process of structuring this, we know the Taliban told the American military, confirmed by the American military, that if you don't want us to come into Kabul, we'll wait on the outskirts of Kabul. And the American military says, oh, no, you guys, come on in, start taking over Kabul. We just need the airport. This was all confirmed. I'm not making this up. The military confirms the Taliban said they would wait on the outskirts of Kabul until we were done. And we said, no, y'all, come on in. We handed them Bagram Air Force Base, from which they allowed ISIS-K and Al-Qaeda members to leave, some of who conspired to kill 13 American soldiers at the Kabul airport. Because Joe Biden was so arrogant that he ignored everyone's advice. Those 13 American soldiers are dead because of Joe Biden's hubris. And now here comes the American military today, to Congress, to the United States Senate, where they are put under oath, where both Democrats and Republicans are critical of what happened. The Democrats are working very hard to mitigate the damage, to not throw Joe Biden under the bus at a critical time where they need all hands on deck to get everything passed with the bipartisan, non-bipartisan, debt ceiling continuing resolution, build back better nonsense. They need all hands on deck. They're not going to get any Republicans on board. They can't do anything to undermine their credibility. And here come the generals under oath. Say, well, we can't tell you personally exactly what we said to the president, but our opinions were that we needed to leave troops in Afghanistan, 2,500, that could be escalated up to 3,100. And I can't tell you what I specifically said to the president, but that's my opinion. Hint, hint, wink, wink. Secretary Austin, did the president hear this? Did the president hear these numbers? Well, Joe Biden's an honorable person, and Joe Biden's an honest person. Did he hear that? Well, they're not going to talk about what they specifically did. He hear the number? Yeah. He botched it. I was talking to a Democrat, prominent Democrat. Y'all all know the Democrat I was talking to the other week. Her frustration is that the Biden administration can't be honest about the bungling. They can't be honest. They can't fire anyone. They can't hold anyone responsible. And now we know why. Today we know why no one will lose their job over Afghanistan. Because they all told Joe Biden not to do what he did, and he ignored them. You can't really fire people for giving you sound advice, and you chose to reject their advice. That's why no one's lost their job. So the only thing the voters can do is cost the Democrats their jobs next year, and maybe Joe Biden in 2024 if he even chooses to run again. If you are a regular listener of this here program, you know my quest for the perfect mattress. I finally found one after multiple iterations. And then, of course, you got to get the perfect sheets to go with the mattress. I mean, you need quality sheets. Well, that's why Bull & Branch is right for you. You know, there's a great, great, great company out there. They're highly entrepreneurial, and they make high-quality sheets, the highest quality. It makes the world a better place when you're sleeping under high-quality sheets on a great mattress, and you need Bull & Branch to go with your mattress. They are soft. They've got that weighted feel, but they're also very, very soft. They're very comfortable. You sleep cool, but you also feel like you have something on you. Like, I can't sleep in super light sheets, and the Bull & Branch, they are the perfect purpose balance. My wife loves them. I love them. They're super soft. They're high quality. And you know what? you'll sleep well at night with them. You'll also, you know, for some reason, the Bull and Branch, it's the sheen on them there. You don't get tangled up in the covers at night, which is also great. So I highly recommend Bull and Branch. You can try them worry-free for 30 nights if you don't believe me. You get free shipping and returns. Now, my listeners get 15% off your first set of sheets with promo code ERIC, E-R-I-C-K, at BullandBranch.com. That's Bull and Branch, B-O-L-L, and Branch.com. The promo code is ERIC. Sleep comfortably with Bull and Branch. You won't get tangled up under the covers. They give you a little weight. They're the perfect set of sheets to go with your mattress. Hi there, it's Eric Erickson here. Well, I'm sorry. I would like to get away from the topic, but I can't really get away from the topic now. The House number two, Steny Hoyer, says suddenly the debt ceiling might be contemplated in reconciliation. The Senate number two, Dick Durbin of Illinois, says it's off the table for reconciliation. They're starting to come to grips with the fact that they may have to put the debt ceiling in reconciliation because they're starting to realize Mitch McConnell is not bluffing. They just can't quite figure out how to come to terms with it. Punchbowl, D.C., is a news outlet. A lot of those people, they were the good writers at Politico, and they bolted. Let me just read you the snippet that has hit the wires. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer will seek bipartisan agreement this afternoon to lift the debt limit by just 50 votes. That would require all Republicans to consent. Ted Cruz says he will object. He says, quote, there is no universe which I'm going to consent to lowering the threshold and make it easier for Schumer to lift the debt limit. The Texas Republicans said the only way Democrats will be able to lift the debt limit is through the reconciliation process, which they can lift the borrowing cap on a party line vote. To this effort by Schumer, it's not going to succeed. So what Democrats are trying to do is focus public attention on Republicans' decision to block a debt limit increase. They want Wall Street and business leaders in red states and Republican donors to pressure Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and Republicans to stop filibustering the debt limit boost. Up until now, that hasn't shown any signs it'll work, but Schumer's pressing ahead. House Democrats are likely to vote on a clean debt limit bill as soon as Wednesday. That's a debt limit increase without any other policy changes. It's not entirely clear House Democrats can pass this on their own. Republicans will vote against any lifting of the borrowing cap. Leadership expects to make a final decision in the next few hours. Speaker Pelosi said this morning, a clean debt limit is among our plans. Senate Democrat leaders want the House to pass a clean debt limit, but it's not entirely clear to us why the House is considering it. It stands no chance of passing the Senate. Here is the reality. It has been clear for weeks Democrats need to move the debt limit inside the reconciliation package to be able to pass the Senate with 50 Democrat votes. It's just not clear that Democrats have come to grips with this. It is clear to everyone except the Democrats what the Democrats must do. It's clear to everyone. In fact, Senate Democrats have begun consulting their parliamentarian on how they're going to have to raise the debt limit inside the reconciliation process. I suspect they're probably hoping that the Senate parliamentarian will come out and say, you guys can't do it this way. In such a way that they're going to have to force Republicans. See, if the Senate parliamentarian comes out and says, no, guys, you actually have to, you got to vote on that. You can't put it in reconciliation. Suddenly the ball's back in the GOP court, says, sorry, guys, the Senate parliamentarian says we can't do it. But I suspect the Senate parliamentarian can find a way because it's what are the conditions for the debts for reconciliation? You cannot add new policies. You cannot add to the debt and you cannot fundamentally change existing policy. So they always raise the debt ceiling. The problem is that how do you raise it and say it's not going to impact the debt? Well, you're going to have to figure that part out with some math and the Congressional Budget Office so that you're raising the debt ceiling doesn't fill up the debt. It's possible because just raising it doesn't actually do anything except it provides some room for growth this year, and that then is going to have to be offset. It's going to complicate things for the Democrats, but it's the only way. If they don't do it through the reconciliation process, Mitch McConnell suddenly takes over and he will make it painful for the Democrats, and they know it, and McConnell is willing to do it. Gosh, at least he navigates the rules. He and I may not see eye to all things, but man, watching him make the Democrats squirm has been awesome. If you've been behind the wheel of a high-performance sports car, you realize how much better a car can be. You never want to settle for a regular car again. I feel that way with my X-Chair. From the moment I first sat down in it and I understood how many consider X-Chair to be the finest office chair in the world, can your current office chair give you a massage while you're working? My X-Chair can, and as a guy in radio who sits in this chair for 3 hours a day, plus an additional 3 hours doing show prep, I can tell you it's worth it. It can also heat up. It can cool down. That's what my X-Chair can do. I bet yours can't. It's all the Elemax massage and temperature regulation, exclusively designed and made for X-Chair. Once you feel it, once you realize the difference, you're not going to go back. You're going to want one of these. Try X-Chair yourself, risk-free for 30 days. Once you realize how much better your chair can be, you're never going to go back. I promise, I didn't, and I had a really fancy chair, and then I got my X-Chair. There's no going back. Go to xchairerik.com now with the letter X, chair, E-R-I-C-K.com, for $100 off your order. X-Chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort. It's xchairerik.com. Hello there. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, the phone line is open if you want to call. The phone number is 877-973-7425. The Democrats are running into problems. And just so you know, Rashida Tlaib has released a statement saying that they will continue, progressives in the House will continue to block the bipartisan infrastructure plan unless the full $3.5 trillion reconciliation plan accompanies it. Pretty remarkable tour de force by the progressives holding everyone else on the Democratic side hostage to progressive whims. There are a few things I suspect we need to focus on here. I'm trying to find, this is one of those things where I brought it up and then it disappeared and now I'm having trouble refinding the statement, which I actually found very hysterical. The Democratic angst over what's going on. Yep. Rashida Tlaib saying, nope, they will not in any way, shape, or form raise the bipartisan infrastructure bill or provide votes thereto. And now Rashida Tlaib, having released the statement, has now deleted her statement. Which kind of makes you wonder what is going on. Let's see if I can find something. This is happening right now. Rashida Tlaib, having released her statement, has now deleted her statement, saying that she will not support any effort whatsoever unless the whole thing is done. All right, let me break this all down for you. I want to begin with off the beaten path, if we can, on what's happening with the Democrats and explain to you what's going on in Washington. Mark Jacob has a Twitter thread up. I don't know Mark Jacob. He's the ex-editor at the Chicago Tribune and Sun-Times. And I want to read for you some of his tweets. I used to edit page one stories for the Chicago Tribune, including many from Washington. In this thread, I want to explain why the media, including me, have been unintentionally complicit in the rise of fascism that threatens our democracy. Mainstream media have long tried to treat Republicans and Democrats equally. Some, like me, thought that was the way to be fair. In fact, it was the way to be lazy and not have to sort out the facts. Just quote a Democrat, quote a Republican, and you're done. When I edited political stories, I went so far as to count the quotes from Republicans and Democrats, thinking an equal number would make us fairer. I didn't think I was helping either party. I thought I was helping the readers. I was wrong. If you look back three or four decades, you see many corrupt politicians in both parties. Scandals like Abscam and Keating 5 were mostly Democrat. In recent decades, it's obvious the GOP has been more unethical and anti-democratic, which means treating the parties equally helps Republicans. Hillary Clinton mishandled emails. George W. Bush lied to get us into a war. Both were bad. One was way worse. The media's self-assigned job to treat Republicans and Democrats equally have compelled them to pump up coverage of Democratic scandals. It's fairness signaling. The Republicans have overwhelmed the media with corruption. They've created scandal fatigue, prompting journalists to do something I call ethics norming. That's when something that would have been a huge scandal in the recent past is considered normal now. The Republicans have pulled off quite a trick. If news is defined as something unusual happening, GOP corruption is not news because the party's so widely corrupt. What's needed is new framing. Not party-oriented, but democracy-oriented, truth-oriented. The media shouldn't elevate liars in the interest of fairness. Yes, the media should be fair to the readers, to the facts, not to the two-party system. They should be fair to our democracy. We're now in the midst of an assault on democracy unlike any other country has seen. Oh, baloney. Baloney. You see this? This is a report. Now, let me read you his Twitter bio. Ex-editor at Chicago Tribune and Sun-Times, now allowed to have opinions. Co-authors of 8 books on history of photography, intolerant of racism and small-mindedness. See, this is a progressive now exposing us to his real biases. He thinks that the Republicans are awful people, a terrible political party. He has forever. And he thinks the Republicans, they're just terribly corrupt. Everybody knows it. He doesn't even provide proof of it. He just assumes they're all corrupt. We all know it. And we can't cover it. Now, why do I start here to explain to you the Democrats' problems? Because increasingly within the Democratic Party, the Democrats are surrounded by a media that has declared one side virtuous and the other side awful. So they tell the Democrats all the time that they're virtuous. They tell the Democrats all the time that they could do no wrong. They tell the Democrats all the time that their side is right. I mean, let's jump to Georgia in 2018 for just a moment. In Georgia in 2018, Stacey Abrams ran against Brian Kemp. She lost, and the media would not force her to concede. She was still allowed to say she won. To this day, the media will say Stacey Abrams, well, she had voter suppression. She actually won, but they stole from her. This is, members of the media believe this. So Stacey Abrams gets to go along with it. But Donald Trump and his supporters who say the election was stolen, no. You got to condemn them. The media won't allow Donald Trump to hold the Stacey Abrams standard. As a result, what do Republicans do? They double down. Stacey Abrams lost. It wasn't stolen. Donald Trump lost. It wasn't stolen. But Trump voters very vocal that it was stolen, in large part because they saw the media let Stacey Abrams get away with it. So they get to say it now too, whether the media likes it or not. Democrats in Washington, D.C. benefit from this. They think. Because the media tells them they're always on the right side. You go on CNN, you get Don Lemon, you get Chris Cuomo on there. They claim to be above party. They're progressive hacks. They condemn Republicans, praise Democrats. So the result is that the Democrats constantly are winning the media war. Democrats are constantly winning the headlines. The New York Times takes the Democratic side. The Washington Post takes the Democratic side. CNN takes the Democratic side. MSNBC takes the Democratic side. The only one that doesn't is Fox News. And so what happens to Fox? CNN dedicates an entire TV show, Reliable Sources, to excoriating Fox, to try to bully Fox. They encourage people to harass Fox's advertisers. The left does. To some degree, CNN has as well. Try to boycott Fox, punish people for watching Fox, punish advertisers for giving money to Fox. Because Fox refuses to be inside the bubble that the Democrats and the media are in. More and more of the Democratic Party and the media are in a bubble that has become a feedback loop that reassures them that their cause is righteous. And now it's going even beyond that. The New York Times is announcing the New York Times Corps. The New York Times Corps is going to be a hiring pool where the New York Times will hire people early and engage over a sustained period of time, connections and connection building and relation building. And who are they going to hire? A bunch of people who are diverse in skin color and alike in thought. And it'll be a hiring squad of more progressives, and the media will move more and more to the left. And so what's the natural byproduct of this? The natural byproduct of this is when the media tells the Democrats they're in the right and the Republicans are in the wrong, that the Democrats are virtuous and the Republicans are corrupt and the Democrats are ethical and the Republicans are unethical, is more and more people tune out the media, realizing the media is biased, and they go off searching for other news. And oftentimes they go to people who tell them what they want to hear. I need to point this out to you. If you're going to media outlets that always tell you what you really believe, you're not actually going to news, you're going to opinion. If you're always searching out the people who tell you what you already think is true, you're just searching out people who are affirming you. You're searching out for your opinion. And that's what the Democrats are doing with the media. The media overwhelmingly is taking the left wing side. And so we get to this point where the Democrats think they can use the media to bully Republicans to raise the debt ceiling. The Democrats can push us to the edge of financial crisis in the country. Know that the media will bully the Republicans into raising the debt ceiling and passing a continuing resolution and avoiding a government shutdown. The government, by the way, shuts down Thursday if a continuing resolution isn't passed. And the media will echo their talking points. And so what if Republicans learn from all of this? Republicans learned there's no way they can get a fair hearing. Republicans learned that from the editorial page to the front page, they're going to be to blame. Republicans have learned that they might as well extract concessions. If they're going to be the bad guy, they might as well get something out of it. So Republicans have learned in the politics of crisis and escalation that they might as well up the ante and make it painful for the Democrats, because they're going to get blamed anyway. If the Republicans are always going to be the bad guy in the eye of the press, you might as well go for broke. So force the Democrats to sabotage their own reconciliation plan. Force the Democrats to be the ones to sabotage themselves. Make it painful for them. After all, you're going to get blamed anyway. What happens more and more, younger reporters in Washington tend to be from affluent liberal households, because reporters don't make a lot of money. So a lot of the people who go straight to Washington that bypass the local media, they tend to come from affluent progressive families. They have a progressive worldview. They hang out with progressives. They build progressive relationships. A lot of them go work for Democrats and then jump into the media. And there isn't a lot of local media. Local media tends to be more truthful, because at the local level, you tend not to have the partisan Republican versus Democrat divisions. I was on a city council. I've said this before. I still to this day, I have no idea what the Republican position on trash collection is. In fact, if there's one thing I've gotten wrong over time, I supported the privatization of trash collection in my community. My community ultimately privatized it, and it's garbage. I mean, the garbage is garbage. The pickup schedule is ridiculous. Turns out when you put the public sector in charge of trash collection, it may be less efficient, but they tend to actually do a better job because the voters get pissed off at them. But I don't know what the Republican position is on this stuff. At the local level, local media tends to cover stuff straight, and they get in the habit of covering stuff straight, and then they advance to the national media, and in the national media, they tend to continue to play it straight. With the wipeout of the local media, the national media relies on feeder sources. Those feeder sources become left-wing think tanks, left-wing media outlets, or left-wing households whose kids go to J school and don't have to rack up a bunch of student loans because mommy and daddy pay for it all. And so the national media becomes left. They go to Washington and New York. They tell the Democrats that everything they do is grand and glorious, that they're on the right side of history. History bends towards them. They shut the Republicans out. And the Republicans realize, you know what? We don't have to play to any of these people anymore. More people watch Fox News and listen to talk radio than these people. So let's play to our own side. And the result is the politics of crisis. And the Republicans, knowing they might as well make it painful for the Democrats, because they're going to get blamed anyway, except outside of Fox. And if they've been to the Democrats, they're going to get blamed on Fox. So they might as well go for broke. They might as well make it painful. And you know what? That works for me right now because the Democrats could do this and have chosen not to do this, and they want to bypass Republicans on this reconciliation process and turn it into a way to fundamentally transform America. They've got no mandate. They barely won the Senate. They barely won the House. They barely won the presidency. They have no mandate. They're operating as if they have one. Republicans might as well make it painful for them. I got no problem with it. Progressives have a problem with it, but they're not going to vote for the Republicans anyway. The moral of the story here is very simple. There is no reason for you to coddle, try to get in good with, or placate those who would never pee on you if you were on fire. Republicans are finally growing up to that lesson. Now, I need you to grow up to a lesson. I need you to grow up to clean air with Eden Pure. And right now, they got a heck of a deal. They have a BOGO, a buy one, get one free. Their Eden Pure Thunderstorm, you guys have been buying so many of them. Hundreds of thousands of people have. In fact, right now, if you go to Eden Pure Deals and you click on my name and you click on the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, you can buy one, get one completely free, and you get free shipping. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm, it is a filterless air purifier. It eliminates the odors and takes the mold and the mildew and the pollen and the bacteria that's floating in the air and eliminates them too. Cleans up the air in your house. What you do is you go to EdenPureDeals.com. You click on my name, Eric Erickson. You will see the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. You click on it, put it in your cart. You'll see a discount code, and you put in the secret code. Now, I'm only going to tell you, just you. No one else is going to know. It's the secret code, Eric Bogo, E-R-I-C-K-B-O-G-O. You go EdenPureDeals.com, put the Eden Pure Thunderstorm in your cart, use the discount code, Eric Bogo, buy one, get one. E-R-I-C-K-B-O-G-O, all one word. You buy an Eden Pure Thunderstorm, you're going to get a second one completely free, and you'll get free shipping, and you'll clean the air in your house. EdenPureDeals.com. Well, we come full circle at the end of the show. If you were here at the beginning, Jen Psaki, the White House, they've taken a page from a Washington Post opinion column. I think it was Jen Rubin, don't hold me to it, who basically said that the $3.5 trillion spending plan actually doesn't cost anything. This is from the Babylon Bee, South Burlington, Vermont. Local wife and mother, Josefina Cudando, made a bold claim Monday. Her $3.5 trillion shopping spree to Target would actually cost the family just $0. Cudando had originally told her husband she would be spending $3.5 trillion at Target on prairie dresses, shoes, magnolia decor, a few things for the kids, groceries, knickknacks, throw pillows, and candles, among other small purchases. When the proposal didn't poll well among her husband's base, she quickly realized a statement that the $3.5 trillion in spending would actually cost $0 when you think about it. According to Cudando, when you look at how many coupons she used, the deals she got, and the fact that she put everything on her Target credit card, the total cost of her massive purchase was actually a wash. How do you think about it this way? She said as she got home with 50 million truckloads of stuff from our Target. If we didn't buy this stuff, we wouldn't have saved all that money by scanning every item in the Target app. We would have saved $0. This purchase would actually end up being an even trade-off. A publishing time, Cudando has claimed that actually made money on the purchase since American dollars are depreciating so rapidly that all the home decor she bought would actually retain value better. And her husband had to admit she had a point. This is where we are with the Democrats' gaslighting of America. You know, I remember when the media was ruthless in their fact-checking of claims by the White House. I mean, is there a difference between not holding a press conference and lying versus holding a press conference and lying? Because apparently you can hold press conferences and lie, and the media will give you a complete pass on it. But if you refuse to hold the press conference and lie, then they fact-check you. The fact-checking that it costs nothing to spend $3.5 trillion, it's absurd the media has even contemplated giving this a pass. And yet here we are as a nation having a conversation on whether spending $3.5 trillion is actually costing us nothing or something. People have lost their minds. I realize people are stupid, and the Biden administration is exploiting people being stupid so that they can try to obfuscate all this stuff. But I can't imagine this works when the price of milk doubles in this country if they pass this because of the CalFart tax. If you weren't here at the beginning of the show, $6,500 per head of cattle per year if they're a dairy cow to offset the costs of methane emissions by the cow through its belching and farting. That's going to cause the price of milk to go up astronomically by $3, doubling it from the $3 it already is. And the Democrats, they're totally fine with that. Why? Because now they claim that there's no way companies would pass these costs on to consumers. Right.